While fatherhood can indeed be an intimidating adventure that makes guys feel like they're swimming upstream with an anvil tied around their neck, my guest with his new book, he offers up some tips and shares some stories, gives you some fun, too, that will help dads save their sanity and find their way. His book is Tales from the Dad Side. He is the co-host of Fox and Friends on, of course, the Fox News Channel, Steve Ducey. Good morning, Steve.
Hi, Chris. How are you today?
Good to have you here. I got to ask first thing about the book cover, because your three kids, Peter, Mary, Sally, since they're featured on the cover, are they begging you for residuals off of this book already?
Listen, two of those kids are now in college. We photoshopped them in from 15 years ago. So a couple of the kids are already in college. So they're being paid handsomely for just loitering on the book cover of my Tales from the Dad Side.
Now, You set out on this adventure in your follow-up to the Mr. and Mrs. Happy Handbook that you wanted to show that dads are smarter than how they're shown in TV and movies, because when you think of, they always do the list of favorite dads. It's usually, Peter Griffin and Homer Simpson top the list.
Yeah, exactly right. And dads usually wind up being the punchline. Or you look at Tim Taylor, the guy from Home Improvement. We're doofuses if you watch stuff like that. And it's kind of funny. But you know what? In real life, dads do their best, and they, it's hard. Women, moms, have an easier go of it because there are more books out there written for, what to expect when you're expecting and stuff like that. So they're, from the time a woman is a little girl. In fact, what is given a little girl a doll, if not practice mommy-ing, if you will? Whereas, guys don't get that. And if you think, Chris, that a G.I. Joe is practice for being a dad, that's just nuts, because a G.I. Joe is a plastic-molded killing machine, and it's best that we keep it that way.
Yeah, kids who play with those too many times wind up in a shack in Omaha writing a manifesto.
Not that there's anything the matter with that.
No, not at all. We both worked with people probably doing that as we speak right now. Now, when fatherhood was thrust upon you, were you more ready, were you more willing, or were you more able?
You know what? I don't think I was any of them because I was just clueless. I figured, how hard could it possibly be? But, you realize pretty quickly that those little squirming, pooping, eating machines, they need a bunch of stuff. And then generally what I did was whatever my wife asked me to, I just did it. I didn't ask any questions because she'd read all the books and she knew all the stuff. And now the kids are pretty near grown up. Peter and Mary are in college, and then Sally. The three kids, Peter, Mary, Sally, or with the initials of PMS, as it turns out.
I wasn't going to mention that, but it's okay.
No, it is okay. I discovered that when I was, after Sally was born, and I went to the jewelry store to get my wife a necklace. And the lady said, on that pendant right there, you can engrave your kids' initials. What are they? And I said, I got a P, I've got an M, I've got an S. Oh, my goodness, family's a punchline. And, she wears it proudly because she's proud of being a mom. But for people who are just walking toward her, they see that thing around her neck, and they probably think it's some sort of a warning label, don't you think?
that actually could be a double-sided benefit, really. Proud of your kids and keep unwanted annoyances away.
That's right. Back off. You never know.
Now, they talk about the fear of fatherhood and how you overcome fear, but, not being a father, my question would be, how can you fear something? How could you foul up something you didn't expect to happen at the various stages of being a fatherhood? For example, the first day of school. I mean, you don't know what to expect.
You don't know. And so that's why you're just kind of flying into it blindly. But the more the more experience you get in that dad thing, you wind up realizing, wait a minute, there are potential problems everywhere. And it is my job to make sure that the kid gets into a good class with a good teacher so that they wind up maybe getting on a good team, getting a scholarship, going to a good college, getting a good job, so they can wind up buying a house on a golf course, so that when I'm old and wrinkly, my children can afford to put me in a really nice assisted living home in Boca Raton. One preferably that would have, a retired Dallas Cowboy cheerleader doing aqua sizes at least twice a week. That's what I'm looking for in my gray days.
I take you haven't discussed this with your wife yet.
No, it's pretty much, we're touch and go in that whole retirement thing. She would like to retire today, and of course I have got to keep working because I got those two kids in college and one who's going to be in college in 3 years.
Ah, yes. We're talking about Steve Ducey. Tales from the Dad Side, dadside.com on the web. You're listening to Issues and Ideas. You use in the stories a lot of references to your dad as either a guidepost, a sage, or some sort of reference point. Was your dad a book smart type of guy, or is he just a common sense smart type of guy?
That's an excellent question, Chris. He's more of a common sense guy. My dad was not college educated. He wound up going to the Army, and he served his country proudly for a number of years. And in fact, you know, it's what dads dream of. You know, most dads I know of, they hope that one day their kids will wind up getting the stuff that they never had. And because he never went to college, you know, it was his dream that I would go to college. And in fact, in my entire family, I'm the first of many now to go to college. So it was a big step. And so my dad was always commonsensical. And I think that's one of the things he has given me that I've tried my best to impart to my own children.
Now, Steve's book, Tales from the Dad Side, is a lot of to-dos, but they're real early on. You get a very big what not to do, which, again, not being a dad, this sounds like common sense to me, but I would kind of think that going to a strip club after your child's born, that's something you just don't want to do.
You know, you're probably right. And the night Peter was born, my friends from NBC down in Washington, they said, come on, let's go celebrate. And I said, where are we going? And they said, it's going to be a surprise. And all I will say about that is that the day that Peter was born, I'm not going to admit anything, Chris. I'm just going to say that story does involve Newt Gingrich, O.J. Simpson, Chatty Cathy, and a strip joint.
And baby corn.
Yes, right, the baby corn.
And if that ain't a tease, I've lost the ability to tease. What helped you in your days still work today? You know, have you had to modify what you look back at dad's and said, well, that worked when he imparted that to me? Does that always transfer from you to your kids?
You know what? That's another great point. You're on a streak here, Chris.
Two in a row.
I think a lot of new parents, what they do is they say, well, you know, now that I'm a parent, I'm going to raise my kids a certain way. And my parents did this, and I think that works, so I will do that too. Or they did that, and I'll do that. But you know what? They did this thing that really bugged me. I would never in a million years do that. And so I think it's kind of like some parents, dads and moms included, kind of become cafeteria parents. I'll take one of these, I'll take some of that, and in the end you've got a full meal, but it's not necessarily doing everything that your parents did when you were growing up.
Now, how about trying to keep everything in perspective, because it just doesn't stop when they're babies. Dads are going to overreact and over-magnify things. Did you get yourself caught up in that, and either your wife or even your kids or teachers had to say, calm down, you're going overboard again?
Let me put it this way, Chris. Even though I'm completely evolved in this now, and I've written a book about it, yesterday I spent a half an hour on the phone yelling at one of my daughter's teachers. Because there was, and if you hear some laughter in the background, it's my daughter right now, Sally.
All right.
She and I are going down to Washington. There's a holiday party at the White House, and we're going to go. But I did wind up yelling at the teacher yesterday, and the teacher did tell me at one point, Mr. Ducey, there really is no reason to raise your voice. So if that answers your question, I think that should.
Very honestly, very forthright. I appreciate that, as always.
Exactly right.
You mentioned sports before. I guess this is one of those dilemma points for dads. Which really put the anvil over your head? Was it coaching the kids in sports or talking to the kids about sex?
Both tough. Actually, the coaching was harder because I was completely unprepared and unqualified to be my son's coach. But if he were going to wind up on the varsity team, he was going to have to get some more FaceTime out on the field of dreams in his rec league, and his rec league was run by a bunch of guys who didn't really like Peter, and Peter wasn't the best kid out on the baseball diamond. He was his motor skills were slow to mature, and so I did volunteer. I became his coach. We had one of those kind of Bad News Bears movie of the week kind of seasons where, you know, here's this guy who doesn't who doesn't know what he's doing as the coach. And I wound up picking a team that eventually would end up in the Town World Series, kind of a movie of the week deal. And we were one run away from winning, but in the end, we came in second. Besides, if we would have won, people would have thought that I was just making that story up. This makes it a little more real.
That was much
harder than having that uncomfortable chat with Peter regarding SEX, which we had at a Yankees game during the seventh inning stretch. Because most dads like to put that off until the absolute last moment. And Peter was supposed to go to Europe for a month with his cousin. And he was supposed to leave on a Sunday, and that Saturday afternoon, there we are at the Yankees game, and I said, you know what, it's really time that we have that conversation. I started to, but Peter said, Dad, really, that's not necessary. I said, no, you're going to be out, you might have questions. He said, Dad, we don't have to have this conversation now. I said, no, Peter, we need to. And he goes, I learned all about it in health class. And in fact, that's exactly right. They do teach it in sex education is the health class. And then I was thinking, wait a minute, he had that last year. He got straight A's. That was the only class he got straight A's in. That's my boy.
And he never cut that class either, I bet.
I'm sure he did not. What kind of homework would they have for that?
As long as they don't have to work in teams, I guess you don't have to worry. Wrapping up our time with Steve Doozy, Tales from the Dad Side, dadside.com on the web here on Issues and Ideas, with a whole host of lessons from, well, what to do when your little sister gets run over by mom in the car, to the many uses for graphite at go-kart races. But I think the underlying lesson, and certainly correct me if I am wrong on this, that it's really important for dads to be dads. They have to participate rather than observe.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, why bother just sitting on the sidelines? The whole idea of dad is to be a dad and mentor a kid and show him the way. And without that, you're just you're a spectator. What the heck kind of life is that? You got to get in there.
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot more exciting being there instead of just, 30 years later looking at the photo albums.
Yeah, that's right. And 30 years later, we still have a lot of photos that we need to put in the album. they're all over the bedroom floor. I'm thinking by the end of this book tour, that's my next book, is putting together the photo book for our family.
And I should say, too, I've been mentioning dadside.com. That is a website that not only can you get Steve's book, Tales from the Dad Side, but you can help in his efforts to raise money for the Wounded Warrior Project, which is a very valuable and very significant difference-making for the veterans and our heroes in the U.S. military. You want to have some fun, you want to get some lessons, and you want to say, hey, that sounds like me. All that and more is going to happen when you get Steve's book, Tales from the Dad Side, dadside.com on the web. You can get an autographed copy through those means. Steve Doozy, happy travels. Thanks for being here this morning.
Chris, it was great talking to you again. Have a great holiday season.